reading to you from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 28th verse. And God hath appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not apostles, are they? All are not teachers, are they? Are all who workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not inherit, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist, Cecil Mullen. As you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach. Well, listen, I tell you right now, friends, I wouldn't trade my past 51 years with the President of the United States or any other country. I'm telling you, the joy that God has given me and my wife and my family, oh, we've had heartaches, we've had trials, financial, health, we've had it all. But I'm going to tell you right now, some of these days I'm going to have a crown. That's right. And I'm going to have a mansion. And you can too if you know Jesus. Well, listen, I'll tell you how to find him tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of ice to your cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, and let's begin reading with the 32nd verse. And two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on one right and one on the other left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Now there was also an inscription above him, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeedly justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done no wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into the kingdom. And he said to them, Truly I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, Jesus had many, many remarkable converts. And it's pretty difficult to choose the most remarkable one. But some of the converts among the rich, Joseph of Arimathea. Converts among the religious, old Nicodemus. Converts among the rejected, the woman at the well. But the most remarkable may be the thief on the cross. The paths of three men meeting in death. Two were completely guilty, and one was completely innocent. Two paying for their debts to society, one our debt of sin. Now one dying in sin, one dying to sin, one dying for sinners. Boy, oh boy, think about that. Let me say that again. One dying in sin, one dying to sin, and one dying for sinners. That's exactly what Jesus did for you and for me today. What makes this conversion so remarkable? Well, let's read verse 32. And two were criminals, were being led away to be put to death with him. These two men were absolutely criminals. You say, Cecil, look it. You go to prison, you preach to men and women in prison. What's your stay on that? Are you a bleeding heart liberal? No, I am not. If they do the crime, they do the time. Do I believe in the death penalty? I sure do. Yes, I do. If you read the Bible, you can't help from believing it. But the thing is, Jesus, according to Isaiah, was to make his grave with the wicked, the ungodly. And you know what, friends? I have really been maligned many times and criticized for my going to prison in Skid Rows and all that and talking to the down-and-outers. Well, beloved, listen, I'm concerned about the down-and-outers, but I'm also concerned about the up-and-outers. Christ died for all sins. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. God is no respecter of persons. But I'll have to admit that I have more rapport in prison and in Skid Row than I do in the fancy churches on the hill. I've told you this story before, but it's worth repeating. When God called me to preach, I was thinking someday I'd be pastor of a great, big, huge church. My stars, they had a 100-voice choir, and they were up there in their robes, and the choir director was directing them in some great anthem, and then I was to walk out on the platform on this big, huge pulpit, and I was to take my Thompson Chain Reference Bible and lay it on the pulpit, and I was to lead in prayer, and then I was to preach. Never happened. Oh, I've preached in big churches like that. No. The Lord said, Cecil, go back where you used to be, because that's where I can use you the most. So that's why I'm in Skid Row, and that's why I go to prison. And I'm not mad about it. I'm very happy to be used of the Lord in prisons. I had a dear pastor, a doctor of theology, I might add, said, Cecil, I really envy you guys. He said, because I don't see that in my churches. And he is a soul winner, and he's concerned about lost people. But he never sees that, and many, many pastors never see, maybe 5 or 6 people, if they're, I was going to say the word lucky, but we don't use that word. If they preach the gospel, they see someone's 5 or 6 people saved a year, they're blessed. Oh, friends, I'd never be satisfied again. We went to this big church I told you about the other day. Oh, thank you so much for praying for us. We had a tremendous service, and at the altar call I gave, I don't know how many came forward, but there was a lot of people. You see, and that pastor was just blessed. I'm so glad that even we can go to churches, but I'll have to tell you the truth. I'm more comfortable in rescue and in prisons than I am in these nice big churchmen. Well, the rich also be considered. Joseph of Arimathea was placed Jesus in his grave. Joseph was a wealthy man. So Jesus didn't even have a place to be buried. He never owned a piece of property, never had any animals, never had any money. But his heart was filled with compassion when he saw the blind and he saw the weak. He saw the woman with the bloody issue. He saw the 10 virgins. The Lord is not a respecter of persons. I said that before. I'll say it again. He is not a respecter of persons. See, all prophecies concerning Jesus must be fulfilled. And many prophecies converged at the cross. Now, in verse 42, it said, I'll turn it over here in my Bible, and he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, my stars. Now, this thief, he realized that he was a sinner. Beloved, let me ask you, do you believe you're a sinner tonight? You say, well, Cecil, I'm not really a bad person. That's not what I ask you. Hasn't got a thing to do with you being bad. If you are born on this earth, you are a sinner. The Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you are a sinner. And until you can confess that to the Lord and recognize that Jesus came from heaven down here to this earth to be with us for 30 years and then suffered terrible death on the cross of Calvary, you can't be saved. You know what? I always knew when I was an alcoholic what a terrible sinner I was. Oh, you think I didn't think about that? You think when I was driving down the street under the influence of alcohol that I was afraid that I might hit someone and kill them? Don't you think I didn't think about that? One day, and I'm sure not proud to tell you this, but I recall I'd been drinking all day in this tavern. And I remember I was supposed to meet someone at my house. And I got in my Oldsmobile car and tore out of that parking lot like a crazy man. Started down the street and there was five little children playing in that street. And I prayed. I remember saying, oh God, don't let me hit those little children. And I jumped the curb and there was a great big telephone pole there with a big cable guy wire. And my car run right up that guy wire. I'm telling you, dear friends, it was scary. Well, you see, I knew I was a sinner, but I didn't know how to change it. Some of you people believe that you can come to the Lord changed, and that's all you got to do. You can't do it. He's got to change you from the inside. He's got to remove the heart of flesh, the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. You see, this thief, he sees justice in his punishment, and he proclaims the righteousness of Christ. Now, the content of his remarkable prayer, he called Jesus Lord. He never saw a miracle by Jesus. He never heard a sermon by Jesus. But he did say, remember me when. He didn't pray to escape the cross. He did not. He believed the Lord would establish his kingdom. Look at the crucified and called him his king. J.C. Ryle, a great Bible student, if ever there was a soul hovering on the brink of hell, it was the soul of the thief. Some would have thought of him too wicked a man to be saved, but it was not so. Now, in verse 43, this is remarkable. This is remarkable. 43. Let's get over here. Well, how did I jump that? How did we jump that? And he said, truly, I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Did he say that we got to wait till tomorrow till we get a good feeling? He said, this very day, today is the day of salvation. You might be thinking about giving your heart to Christ, but you think, well, maybe tomorrow, maybe I'll wait a couple of weeks. Friends, the longer you wait, the harder it is for you to get saved, the harder for you to be saved. Well, the only promise was from the cross, is thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, the question answered in this promise, salvation by faith alone. It was assured. Now listen, there was no good works. There was no baptism. There was no joining of a church. Jesus, the Son of God, said, this day thou shalt be in the paradise. That was a remarkable promise. And Jesus has never broke a promise. Heaven immediately follows the death of a believer. A lot of people say, well, when I die, how does that work? Well, it's like this. You shut your eyes in life and open up in heaven. You say, well, don't we have to go and wait for 20,000 years? No. You go immediately to glory. You say, well, what about those people who died and when the rapture comes? Well, they'll be reunited with their body. I don't understand all that, and I don't even care to understand it. All I know is he said it, and that's the truth. So you can bank on it. Now, lessons from this remarkable text for Christians. Never give up on sinners. Seize every opportunity to witness for Christ, because you do not know, nor do I know, where we will be an hour from now. You don't know. I don't know. Any sinner can be saved by faith in Christ. And we don't have to wait one more moment to believe. This is the hour. You know, Billy Graham has a radio broadcast for eon years. Hour of decision. My dear brother, listen to that when he was dying of sugar diabetes. And he listened to that great, great evangelist. Billy Graham is just an ordinary guy, just like you and me. But he's special in that he's got a special calling of evangelism, mass evangelism. I don't have that call. I have a call of evangelist, but it's not the same as his. Why, if we all had the same call, we'd only reach a few people. Do you know that? Well, anyway, let me tell you a story. Years and years ago, I used to know this pastor in Park Rose Baptist Church. And he was a pretty good dude. I liked that guy. In fact, I preached a couple funerals in his church. But anyway, there was a deacon at this church who had been dealing with a heathen for years. And I'm telling you, he'd take him to church, and the guy'd get mad, and he'd go out, "I'll never darken the door of this church again." He'd get under conviction, and then he'd take off. Well, this deacon decided he'd buy him a beautiful study Bible. So he bought this guy this study Bible, and he took him to church this particular Sunday. The preacher got up and preached a tremendous message on salvation. And when the deacon and this guy walked out the church, this fellow walked up to the preacher and tore this Bible right in two and said, "I'll never come back here again. I don't like you. I don't like your church. I don't like God." And that was it. Everybody fully expected lightning to drop out of heaven and thump that guy in the head. Did you know that at noon they went home for dinner? He went to his house, and the deacon went to his house. But the deacon got so under conviction about this man that he'd been trying to reach for Christ, he called him again and said, "I want you to go to church tonight." And this guy went with him. And that night he was gloriously, gloriously saved. Oh, this deacon had a vision. This deacon knew that the Lord Jesus Christ could change that man. I'm sure that if you'd have saw me a few hours before I was saved, you'd have said, "There's no hope for Cecil Moe. He's a no good drunk." But oh, dear friend, just a few hours later, this old drunk was on his knees, crying out, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's been 51 years. To God be the glory and the praise. He raised me up from the gut of the gutter and put my foot on a solid rock. Jesus. I prayed for my younger brother for 23 years before he accepted Jesus Christ. I prayed for my older brother for 26 years. And then I stayed all night in his home, my wife and I. And I had the privilege of introducing my older brother to Christ. He lived a year before he died. What a change it made in his life. I told you about my skipper, my ship, Navy ship, who was an admiral. And I don't know, we went to our ship's reunion several times. And I was an enlisted man. I wasn't no officer. But anyway, he took a liking to me. Don't ask me why. And I got to speak. Most of our ship was Catholics, and we had a Catholic priest for a chaplain, and he was an alcoholic, I'm sorry. And then there was a man that after he got out of the Navy like I did, he went into the priesthood. And so every time we'd meet, we had 3 days meeting, he would say Mass, and one person walked up to this Catholic priest and said, you know Cecil Mole, he's a preacher. Well, I know, but he said, well, we want to hear him speak. And so I did. I never saw so many tears. I got hugs from men and women, shipmates that didn't know what God had done in my life. I told them the truth. I told them, you know what I was aboard this ship. I was an alcoholic. I was always in trouble. Not serious trouble, but I was bad. And then they knew that Jesus changed my life. Friends, listen. You say, Cecil, I'm not an alcoholic, for heaven's sakes. I don't smoke, and I don't even cuss. Now, you mean to tell me that if I don't know Jesus, I must be born again? That's what Jesus said. Ye must be born again. And, you know, all you got to do is confess that you're a sinner, and then you have to tell him you're sorry for your sins, and open your heart and receive him. Now, don't try to gussy up and come up real clean, because there's no way you can clean your sins. The only thing that'll wash away your sins is nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the only way your sins will be forgiven. And what does he do when he forgives them? He throws them into a sea of forgetfulness, never, never to be remembered again. As far as the east is from the west. Beloved, listen, you're saying, Cecil, you know what? I'm almost convinced that you're right. No, it's not me that's right. It's God's Holy Spirit that's right. It's this Bible that's right. This is God's unerring word. There's no lies. There's no mistakes in it. If he promised you he'll give eternal life, he'll give it to you. Well, listen, tonight, you say, Cecil, you know, I am a Christian, but boy, howdy, I haven't been living for the Lord. You're 80, almost 82 years old, and you're still preaching? Well, my stars in the morning, I don't see no retirement in this book. I'm enjoying myself. Oh, I'm enjoying telling people about Jesus. I enjoy telling you on this broadcast about Jesus. But if tonight you feel a real tugging at your old heart, won't you bow your head to me right now and pray the most powerful prayer known unto man? Dear Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. Truly, Lord, I am sorry for all the things I've done to you and myself and to my family. Tonight, Lord, I'm inviting you in to be my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call me? 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. But I am tremendously concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. Don't ask me if he's good or bad. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Mode. Thank you, dear friends, for listening, and thank you so much for your prayers. Oh, my stars in the morning. When we and my wife and I and that quartet go to prison, we feel your prayers. Oh, we sure do. And you know, when the God anoints, it's God that anoints man. We can't work it up. We can't pray it up. He gets it from heaven above and gets it down to us. Well, listen, friends, continue to pray for our prison ministries and continue to pray for our health and pray that God will give us souls for our hire. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.